Amen. Good evening, everyone. As the ushers are taking up the offering, I'm going to jump right into my sermon. And I'm so excited for tonight, specifically for what started just now, because if you'll see the title of my sermon, you'll see that God wants to do something tonight. I don't think we are sure yet what He wants to do, but I do believe He wants us to pray. And the next generation is something that a few of you that came to the front just mentioned now. So I trust that we will continue what we started when we have communion afterwards as well. It's great to have everyone here. I see the numbers have been trimmed a little bit. Is it holiday or something? Not. It is. Okay, so it's just a bunch of working people in front of me tonight. It's great. No, not. It's students. Awesome, guys. Welcome. Before I get into tonight, the previous time when I preached, it was about a month ago, my wife was highly pregnant. She looked a bit like a watermelon. There's a few things that you should not tell her tonight, please. That's one of them. Don't say I said that, but the truth will set all of us free, her included. So our son was born, and I thought I'd bring a few pictures with. I'm working it into the sermon as well. But that is the newest member to the Bormann family, and that is also the newest member to the Shofar family. So that is... Thank you. Yes, I had a little bit of a contribution in that. The next, you the guys always take everything literally. The next is just him being unmasked so that you can see his face, and he's really adorable at the moment. He is a master in the three S's. It's sleeping, sucking, and the last S you can't say in church. But that's awesome. Okay, but this is where my sermon starts. There's a few more pictures, and he's part of the sermon tonight. He is the next generation. After the word that Pastor Fred brought and the picture that he sees, I've got a better idea of where God is going with this tonight. And I must confess and must admit, I think my sermon up to before that was a bit selfish and focused on most of us, but let me just pray. Father, I want to thank you for tonight, Lord. I want to thank you for your word, Lord, and that your word sets us free, Lord. And I want to thank you, Father God, Lord, that you are the God, Lord, of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, Lord. You are the God, Lord, not of this generation only, Lord, but you are the God, Lord, of the generations to come as well, Lord. And Father God, we thank you that you already know, Father God, Lord, about this and the next generation, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus, that you came to earth, Lord, to establish the church, Lord, to make a difference, Lord, to be your hands and to be your feet, Lord. And tonight as a church, Lord, we pray that you will touch, Lord, and Father God, Lord, that you will just rejuvenate, Lord, our hearts, Lord, towards the lost as well, in Jesus' name. Now, even before my son, Hubert, came into the world, he already had a history. And there's been a few influences in his life already up to now. And I want to run through that. And what my heart is for tonight is that God helps us in a healthy way to look back in our own lives and to look forward as well. The next picture there is his brother and sister and my wife, and they don't always look like that. As you can see, sucking is a gift in our family. But that was us celebrating him, and specifically my wife already have an influence on him. And the other two, they do their part. They love him, but on the scale of cookies and cool drink your bear still features at the bottom. But we'll get over that. Next picture, there they are. That's my wife a few weeks before the due date. And you see, I wasn't lying. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I must say that. And there's the beautiful Stellenbosch Mountain there at the back as well. And he came into that family. Now, the next few pictures, I want you to keep between all of us, please, because I can get into trouble. That one is my wife ready to do her part. And then I'm going to take you down a trip down memory lane just quickly. The next one is me. And I watch that show Scrubs or whatever. I watched that before the C-section, and I prepared myself. I think I washed my hands and everything. And then the next picture, there's me on the right doing the C-section. No, that was the doctor. I was sitting, sweating there with my wife in the front. Okay, where am I getting at? The next picture, I just want to give you a background. Okay, please get back on your chairs. That is not a wig. That is my natural hair, and actually, I chose that picture for the provincial colors of the Orange Free State that I got once in athletics. So I don't know why you are laughing. Anyways, okay, the next picture is between all of us as well. She doesn't even know I showed it, but there it is. I get a ha ha, and she gets a ah. Oh, okay. Anyways. Okay, so story I want to tell is boy meets girl, and then boy puts ring on girl's finger. Okay, can I have another? I paid for that. Can I get a, like, thank you. I paid for it twice. Because the first time I went a bit cheap. And I learned my lesson. Guys, don't do that. You go over the top, okay? I did fix it a few years later. Literally, I had to fix it and redesign it and everything because it fell apart after a few years. But the ring in her heart is like solid. It's not like anything. Okay, then the next picture, I just want to balance my sport life with my academics. That's my dad on the left, as you can see, and that's my mom on the right. Dad's still alive. Mom passed away about 8 years ago, and as you can see, I got a degree there. Can you see that? So, and the hair looks better there than the previous one. Okay, so that is Hubert's grandfather and grandmother on my side. Okay, so they are responsible for me. Okay, because of them, I'm here. You don't have to give them a round of applause, but they have an influence on my son, Hubert's life, and they've got an influence on both my other children's lives as well. They don't necessarily have too much of an influence on my wife's life, and I don't think she will allow them to have too much of an influence on her life. She's got a very strong personality, but she has problems of her own. That's them next picture there. That's them there. Grandpa Diapia and Oma Ollis in the hospital, influencing little Hubert already. Okay, now then the next picture is a bit morbid, but not that morbid. That's my great grandfather's grave and my grandmother's grave. Now, this must stay between all of us as well, and please be erased from the tape as well. I can't remember my great great grandmother's name, but my great great grandfather, he's got the same name as me. Or I've got his name, rather. Okay. The next picture, that's my dad standing with my grandparents' graves, not with them, with at their grave. And that Oma, I can remember her name was Oma Katie, but I never knew her. But I know she influenced me. I know that because she influenced my dad big time. I know that. And then my grandpa's name is the same as mine. And then, obviously, that is my dad. He's there as well. And I've got his name as well. So, Cardu, the little blonde guy that you saw there, his name is Ricardo Augustinus Johannes Borman the Fifth. Okay, why is everybody going like... Okay, maybe when his granddad die, I will change the name as well. But anyways, no, I won't. We got the same names. I am the fifth and he is the sixth generation. And the point that I would like to make through all of this is that if I mention the word father tonight, or I mention the word mother tonight, or grandmother, or granddad, there's stuff going through your mind. Okay? If you would, maybe this can be a small group for one Wednesday, if you would take your albums with and go and show people your pictures so that they can laugh at you as well, I will feel much better. But what I want to say tonight is that there's influences in our lives. And the influences in our lives is either positive or it's negative things in our lives. The previous time I preached, I started with Isaiah 61 verse 4 that says, "They shall build up the ancient ruins, they shall raise up the former devastations, they shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations." And as we're sitting here, we are people that is carrying blessing, and we are people that is carrying, I don't want to use the word curses, but it's there in our lives that we need to deal with many times. I love my parents to bits, and tonight I honor them. I want to honor them for the fact that they stood by me through thick and thin. They are the reason that I am here today. My dad was a guy that was very quiet. He's a farmer. He's still farming. He's been farming for 40 years. And he invested a lot in my life. But he wasn't perfect. There's a lot of things that I missed out because of the things that he missed out. And I'm sure he missed out on those things because his granddad missed out on that, and so on and so on. There are things in my life that has been established because of my father and my mother's faithfulness. And there are things in my life that has not been established because of their neglect or just because of the fact that they don't know any better. I was provided very well for in the physical. I remember from a very small age, we would, as a family, we would sit around a table. My dad would, specifically on Sunday evenings, he would take out the Bible and he would read scripture. We wouldn't discuss it. We'd just immediately go down on our knees and we would pray. And it's a fond memory. And I must confess, I forgot that for a while. And as I was preparing and thinking, that memory came back to me. The little that he had, he invested. And I was up to that stage in my life. I was satisfied with that. I thought that was it. That was enough. That's all I needed. Just that little bits of bread in my life. The same with my mom. She was a God-fearing woman, and she invested in my life. But there's a lot of things that they didn't know about, spiritual things that they didn't know about. And there's a lot of you that can agree with me. There's very few of us that's sitting here tonight that are the product of three or four or maybe five generations that has served the Lord faithfully and fully all the way. This is a generation that is standing up and that is saying, "Lord, we want more. We want more." I had a testimony of one of our previous pastors that went to America. and he stayed with a family where 5 generations were still alive. They probably started very early. But the great-grandfather, the great-great-grandfather, the grand... You get what I'm saying? They all served God fully and faithfully. And because of that, there was a generational accumulation of blessings that was carried from one generation to another. It was an exponential blessing that was carried from one generation to another. And that's why it's so important that we do honor our parents. And we do honor our great-great-grandparents for the blessings that they've bestowed in our lives. And for some of us, it's easier than for other people. There's some of us that would like to forget about our parents and just get on with our lives. And God challenges us on that. In Judges 2 verse 10, we read about the following. We read this scripture. And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. That is such a sad, sad scripture. A generation that arose and didn't know about the goodness and the mercy and the greatness and the work that the Lord has done. In Ezekiel 14 verse 3, we read the following. Son of man, these men have taken their idols into their hearts and set the stumbling block of their iniquity before their faces. Should I indeed let myself be consulted by them? And we've talked about that a lot in this church, is that the things that we focus on, the things that we take into our hearts, the things that we take into our minds, is the things that forms us. What we focus on forms us. What I invest myself in, it eventually defines me. It has an influence on me. And what my parents invested in, it defines me. What they focused on, it formed me. It has an influence on my life. Good things and a lot of bad things as well. Certain depravities, certain things that's not supposed to be in my life. And in this world, there are many, many, a generation that is fatherless and that has no positive influence in their life. No good thing. It's a generation that rises up, a generation that stands up and that does not know about the work and the goodness of the Lord. And that is why God has established the church, to bring that change about. In Matthew 10 verse 37 we read, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. In Matthew 15 verse 4 we read, for God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever revels father and mother must surely die. And there's so many people, I saw something the other day, somebody that wrote a comment somewhere, who decided not to follow God anymore because they read Matthew 10 verse 37. They decided, listen, I'm not going to follow this God if he expects me not to love my mother and my father. But obviously the person didn't understand the context. What God is saying here is, he's saying, listen, if you love me, if you are intimate with me, if your priorities are right, if you relate in the right way to your parents, you will live right. You will not only live right, you will live righteous. And I must confess that there was a time in my life that I related in the wrong way to my parents and to the things of my parents. Because my relationship with God was not priority. My parents gave me the security that I needed. Where I came from gave me the security that I needed. And every time life became tough, I would want to run back to them. I would want to run back to that place of safety. And there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is, I'm supposed to run to my Heavenly Father first and ask Him and say, God, what do You want for my life? What do You want for this generation to be established? In Matthew 15:4, the balance comes where it is God's heart that parents be honored, that fathers and mothers be honored. There is a blessing in that. And there is many of us that per se, we don't honor our parents, we just keep quiet. It is not a culture in our midst, it's not a culture in our lives. And God wants that to be fixed. To honor our parents so that we may be a blessing to this generation and to the next generation. But the focus that I want to bring is that if we make idols of people, in this case I'm talking about our parents, but if we make idols of things, if we make idols of our parents and of people and of our heritage, where we come from, that's the thing that will define us. That's the thing that we take into our hearts that Ezekiel says, and that's the thing that disgusts God. Because that is the thing that steals from Him the glory and the worship that is only His, that only belongs to Him. In Psalm 78, verse 2, we read the following. I will give instruction and explain the mystery of what happened long ago. These are things we learned from our ancestors, and we will tell them to the next generation. We will not hide them from our children, but tell them to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done. God gave His law to Jacob's descendants, the people of Israel, and He told our ancestors to teach their children so that each new generation would know His law and tell it to the next. Then they would trust God and obey His teachings without forgetting anything God had done. They would be different from their ancestors who were stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful to God. Now remember what Judges 2 verse 10 said. It said, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that He had done. And there's a direct correlation here for me between a story not being told and a rebellious generation standing up, and a generation that follows that generation who does not know anything about the Lord and the work that he does. And God calls us to that place where we have to tell our stories. We have to tell our stories to this generation and to the next generation. Otherwise, there's room for that rebellion to come into our lives. There's room for that rebellion to come and to take away from us what rightfully belongs to us. And God speaks very clearly to this generation at this time and say, I want you to speak up. I want you not to be afraid. I want you not to be timid. I want you not to be intimidated. I want you to speak and to tell your story to this generation and to the next generation. To speak up and to cry out on behalf of the next generation. That is why tonight we have to pray, God, break our hearts for what break yours. God, break our hearts, not just for our own children. There's many of you that doesn't have children at the moment in the physical, but in the spiritual you have them already. But there are people out there, there are children out there, there are youngsters out there who desperately need someone to cry out for them, who desperately need someone to speak into their situation. We desperately need someone to tell them the story, to tell them the goodness of God. Romans 8:19 says, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. There's a next picture there of me, and I don't know if you know the other guy. And as you can see, I've got a book barkey there. And it's not trying to intimidate him. But I think that was when I got my first or my second year diploma. And tonight I want to honor Pastor Fred. I'm glad he's here. I didn't even know he would be here. But he's one of those men that made a choice in his life to stand up and to invest into the next generations.
He's one of those men that stood up and decided, I am not going to allow a next generation not to hear the stories and the goodness of God. I'm going to speak into their lives. I'm going to tell the stories. I'm going to tell of what God has done in my life. And he's not a perfect man. But he said, I'm going to take what God has given me and I'm going to steward in such a way that it will make a difference for God and for the kingdom for the next generation. I think that was in the year 2000 or 1999. That's when I joined Chofar. Why are you laughing, Theo? And up to that time, the influence of my parents, the focus on the kingdom of this world, came through so strongly in my life. And that was the year that I decided I'm going to follow the Lord. That's the year that I decided I'm going to join Shofar, I'm going to join this church. And because I made that decision, not specifically joining this church, but because I made that decision and saying, Lord, I want to be a different generation. I want to be a generation that stands up for the kingdom of heaven and not just for the kingdom of the world. I don't want to make a difference only on earth. I want to make an eternal difference. I want my story to echo into eternity. That was the time that God started using men and women to speak into my life. Pastor Fred, Pastor Lucille, Pastor Sias, Pastor Andries, Pastor Yankor, Pastor Hercules. A lot of people that I can mention tonight that spoke into my life, that told me their stories. None of them perfect people. Most of them full of mistakes. All of them. But they made a decision to stand up and to speak into the next generation. And I want you guys to honor them. I want you guys, when you see them, to say thank you. To send them emails. Say thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing to this church. We are so grateful. We are so thankful for God allowing you to speak into our lives. Allowing you to be a voice to this generation. God calls us to that, where we also honor our spiritual fathers. And as you're sitting here tonight, I can guarantee you, if you put up your hand, God will position you and he will place you to be a father and a mother spiritually to a hungry generation, to a person that needs that voice. We are used to being brothers and sisters to one another. But when you're a father or when you're a mother, it's a different responsibility. You are willing to deal with the three S's. And you don't complain about that. It comes with the territory. And spiritually, there's three S's as well. That's what baby Christians do. They do that. They hiss at you many times. But when we say yes, we will be fathers and we will be mothers to a next generation. Sometimes it's just going to be for a season. It's just going to be for a while. But we have to be alert for that. And we have to say, Lord, show us that. Show us that moments where I have to be a father or a mother to someone else. And God, anoint me for that. I cannot do it on my own. You know, it freaks me out sometimes when I look at my own children. And I think I've got to bring them up. And the worst thing is when you look at them and you see yourself in them. You know, Kardu is 6 years old now. His sarcasm is through the roof. And it frustrates me. There's a difference between sarcasm and good humor. Please laugh with the rest of the people. But I see myself in that little boy over and over and over again. And I realize I not only have the opportunity, but I have the responsibility to bring him up in the way that he should go. There's mistakes that I have made that I don't want him to repeat. And there's stuff that I did right in my life that I do want him to repeat. There's things in his life that I can see now. There's a calling on his life that I know I have to nurture. I have to pray it into being. I have to stand in the gap for that. You know, and that goes for the other children as well. That goes for us walking past kiddies and not just seeing them as little ones, but stopping for them and trusting God for a word and speaking over their lives. That goes for us when we go on missions and we go and play. I remember when we went to India, I mean, thousands and thousands, millions of children. And the thing they enjoyed the most was us picking them up and throwing them in the air. Not preaching at them, just loving them, picking them up, throwing them in the air, and obviously catching them again. I remember we were a lot of guys going into the slums as well, and you would go home, you would be dirty, you would have rolled around in the dirt, you know, you missed the honor poo by, you know, rolling like this, but just having fun with those kids, just investing in their lives, a little bit of the joy that God gave us, and we would go home. And our backs would be sore. Our muscles would be sore. And the next day, we would go back and we would repeat that. God calls us to bring joy to children. God wants us to draw from their innocence when we give of what we have in their lives. In Genesis 12, verse 1, I must go quicker because we have 15 minutes left. It says the following: Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I'm jumping to Genesis 1:26. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creep upon the earth. In Genesis 1 verse 1 we read, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And then when we jump to Revelations 21, the end of the story. 21 verse 1 says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And folks, we're sitting somewhere in between Genesis and the end of Revelation. On that timeline, the Church of Jesus Christ finds itself between the first heaven and the first earth, and between the new heaven and the new earth. And what we do in history, the devil hates. Satan hates what you and me are doing. And he sends temptation upon temptation to keep us from accomplishing and being the blessing that God wants to be through the church. That what God wants to establish through the generation of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. In Deuteronomy, the word that nobody can pronounce. That's the title of our conference as well. The scripture of our conference as well. Choose life. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abram, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them. And that was God's plan from the beginning, was to bless the nations. That is why he created heaven and earth, to bless us, to bless the nations. But man allowed sin to come in and to ruin that blessing. And instead, a curse came in. And then God redeemed Israel. He redeemed the whole nation out of the hands of slavery, out of Egypt, to become a blessing, to establish a blessing on this earth. But their idolatry distracted them. Their hardness of heart distracted them. And God had to come up with his son and say, "Son, I want you to go and I want you to continue what I always wanted to establish on earth." So currently God is busy recreating heaven and earth. And he's using you and me for that. In Matthew 4 verse 8 we read, "Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only you shall serve.' Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Now when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. 'The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region, a shadow of death, on them a light has dawned.'" And that echoes what God did in the beginning. God said there was darkness, and then he said, "Let there be light." And he said, that light was good. And this time God sends his son. He sends the true light of the universe. He sends the true light of life. And he says, a great light has dawned on darkness. And then verse 17, "From that time, Jesus began to preach saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" And Jesus steps as the light into the darkness. He steps as the light into a dark world. John 8 verse 12 says, "Again Jesus spoke to them saying, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.' And John 9 verse 5 says, 'As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.'" God the Father comes and he says, "I want a generation that can be a blessing." And God sends his own son as that light into darkness to establish that blessing in our lives. And Jesus roams this earth. Jesus walks this earth. And he shows us how to live. He establishes his kingdom on earth. And he teaches us how to pray. He says, "Pray, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Because I want this generation to be a blessing to the nations." Acts 13 verse 47 we read, "For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, 'I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.'" And Matthew 5 verse 14 we read, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." There's a transference of God's light that takes place. God the Father transfers his light to his son and says, "I want you to go to that world and to make a generation that is a blessing." And Jesus transfers that light to his disciples, you and me. And we have the opportunity, we have the responsibility to transfer that light to the rest of the world, to a generation that is desperately hungry and needy. In Matthew 9, verse 2, we read the following. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. Paralytic, how do you pronounce that? Paralytic, lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. When Jesus came to earth, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And when the people heard that, they got so excited, so zealous. They were so in for it because they pictured a kingdom of banners. They pictured a kingdom of soldiers marching. They pictured the kingdom of David and Solomon being restored again to its former glory and power. They were picturing a kingdom of this world. But Jesus was picturing a kingdom of heaven. And in demonstrating what he did in this miracle, he showed the people, "Listen, sickness got nothing on me. My healing touch can fix anything. I can fix anything on this earth." And Jesus did that. But Jesus also focused on the kingdom of heaven. He focused on forgiveness and he focused on sin and he focused on the power of the evil one. Because he knew that is the things that is eternal. And many times as a church, we so focus on God's miracles and we so focus on God's healings. And we are disappointed in God when God doesn't come through for us in that. And that is the things that becomes idols in our hearts many times. Because we focus not on the healer, but on the healing. Or we focus on the provision instead of on the provider. And immediately we move into that temptation of serving the kingdom of this world. And God says, "I want you to be a generation that can focus on the kingdom of heaven and understand the things of the kingdom of heaven, so that when you pray and when you speak that into the kingdom of this world." So many times I have to tell myself that the things that God has intended for me to be a blessing, the things that God has intended for me to steward, has become an object of worship in my life. And those are the things that creeps into my heart and that steals the compassion that I'm supposed to have for God and for the world. I allow the things of the world to come into my heart to pollute that and to prevent God from doing in my life what he wants to do in and through me. In Romans 10 verse 17 we read, "So faith comes by hearing and hearing comes through the word of God." I want to read through Colossians 3 verse 1. And I want you to open up your heart for the truth of God. Many times we read the word blasé. We read the word as something that we got so used to. And we forget that this is the things that God spoke straight from heaven. This is what Colossians say as well. This is things that flow from the heavenly kingdom into this earthly kingdom. He says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death the former, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. I'm going to read up to there. God calls us to be a blessing to the nations. But for us to be a blessing, we need to sit under His word. We need to allow His word to penetrate our hearts, to be able to speak life and to speak life abundantly into the generations to come. We need to sit under the word of God so that we can learn about the stories of God, about the history of God, about the goodness of God, about the deeds of God, to be able to proclaim that to this generation and to the next generation. In Mark 12 we read, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." Let us allow Scripture to refocus us for the kingdom, on the kingdom of heaven, to make a difference in the kingdom on earth. Matthew 6 verse 19, I'm almost done. It says, "Do not lay up treasures for yourselves. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." We're going to take communion now, and I would just ask the ushers to hand that out. And when you have received your communion, I want us to break up into groups of either three or four, and you can move your chairs around. And I really believe that God wants us to make a stand tonight for ourselves, for this generation, and for the next generation. And that as we're going to take communion tonight, that we be reminded of the goodness of God and what He has done. And I want you tonight in your groups to speak into one another's lives and to tell one another what are the things that might be preventing you from being a blessing to the next generation. What are the things that you have taken into your heart that is preventing you from speaking truth, from telling the next generation about God's goodness? And then tonight I want us to do intercession and continue what we started during worship. Is to pray and to prophesy and to speak over those that cannot speak for themselves. Those that have been taken captive by the enemy to do their work. Those young ones that are innocent but doesn't have a father or a mother to speak into their lives. Thank you. As the ushers are handing out the bread and the wine, I'm going to read John 6, verse 53. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." When you received your bread or wine, you can move your chairs around. You know, just sit in a circle, groups of three or four. Okay. Is there anybody that's still looking for some juice, some wine? Anybody still looking for some bread? Amen. Father God, tonight we come to you as a church, Lord. And God, we come and say, Lord, that we choose life, Lord. We choose the life that is in the blood of Christ, and we choose the life that is in the body of Christ, Lord. And Lord, we come and we say, Lord, that we want to be a generation, Lord, that talks of your goodness, Lord, that tells of your goodness, Lord. We are a generation, Lord, that doesn't want to be quiet, Lord. God, we don't want to be rebellious, Lord. And God, we have to confess, Lord, that many times we don't know how to be a blessing, Lord. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you will come and touch us, Lord, and that you will come and equip us and loosen us, Lord, to be the blessing that you intended us to be, Lord. Lord, we pray that tonight, Lord, your Spirit will come, Lord, and inspire us, Lord. Holy Spirit, we ask, Lord, that as we sit in groups, Lord, as we gathered here, two or three, Father God, more than three, Father God, in your name, we know you are here, Lord. And we ask, Lord, for your inspiration tonight, Lord, and Father God, for your voice to flow in us and through us, Lord. We pray tonight, Lord, that you will come, Lord, and you will break our hearts, Lord, for the things that breaks your heart, Lord. We pray tonight, Lord, that we will not, Father God, Lord, take this communion because of habit, Lord. But we will take it, Lord, because of who you are and what you have done, Lord. And what your blood and what your body represents, Lord. And we thank you tonight, Lord, for the way, Lord, that you have made for us. That you've given us access to a Father that can speak life over us, that can acknowledge us, that can bless us, that can breathe over us. And God, tonight we ask that you will touch us, Lord, that you will equip our hands and our feet again, Lord. Every hand, Lord, that hangs feeble, Lord, every knee that buckles, Lord, every mind, Lord, that is double, Lord, we ask, Father God, that you will help us to focus, that you will strengthen us, Lord, that you will make us strong, Lord, and that you will use us as instruments, Lord, to speak life, to be a blessing, Lord, to speak a blessing, Lord, to break the curses, Lord, over one another, Lord, but also over those, Lord, cannot speak and pray for themselves, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you tonight that we can celebrate your brokenness on the cross And that because you were broken, Lord, we can be healed. Thank you that we can celebrate, Lord, your blood spilled on the cross. Because you spilled your blood, Lord, we can be alive today, Lord. And today, Lord, we know we eat with you, Lord, of your suffering as well, Lord. And Lord, help us not to flinch from any form of suffering that we need to go through, Lord, for the sake of being a blessing and being a voice to the next generation, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, Jesus. Let's eat together. Let us drink together. And can we take the next 5 to 10 minutes, as long as it takes, to thank God for Jesus Christ, first and foremost. And to thank God for what he has already done in our lives. Just before you start praying for other people, just before we start praying for that children that Pastor Fred saw, or what God lays on your heart, let's come to him in thanksgiving. And let's just build that memorials of thanksgiving and saying, God, we thank you. We thank you tonight for who you are. And then let's take time to speak into the next generation before we close in worship.